Okay, I want to thank Emily for this hat. Now, you got to listen carefully because you're going to misinterpret what I'm saying here. I want to thank Emily for this hat because Emily has a beautiful story, and someday she's going to, you just talk to her over coffee. She'll tell you some of her story, but it's just a beautiful story and a beautiful journey, and we just love. I remember when Priscilla and Emily first came and all the way from Pembroke and really touched our hearts. And we just have come to really love you guys a lot and what you bring to us. Thank you. And you brought your friends this morning. And that's why I say you gave me this hat, because I got it from these beautiful people, but I wouldn't have got it if I hadn't met Emily. So I want to introduce these guys just briefly. I want you actually to introduce your entire family to us. Okay, Sean and Isabel. I wanted to give you a scripture. Just in case I forget to give it to you, I want to give it to you now, okay? This is a beautiful scripture. It's one of my favorite scriptures, and it's we've only in the moments that we've gotten to know you guys have really appreciated all of you. We've been walking together for, 36 hours? You know, I don't know, something like that. But the scripture is Isaiah 26:12, and it simply says, Lord, you establish peace for us. And I just love that. It says, Lord, you establish peace for us. And then it says this, it says, all that we have accomplished, you have done for us. And I love that scripture, and I see it on these guys. It's like sometimes you can just see a scripture, kind of a banner over their lives. And the Lord is establishing great peace for you, and all that you have accomplished and will accomplish, God has done for you. So come on up, talk about I Am Second, but introduce this beautiful family of yours, because it's been a treat to walk with you these hours. Sean, thanks for coming.
Wow. Thank you so much, Pastor Chuck, for having us. I don't know if you guys know, but your pastor and his wife are really special people. We've only known them for a very short time, but I can tell we're going to be lifelong friends. You really are blessed. Okay. Who's this funny-looking guy with a weird accent? My name's Sean, but that might not make sense to you because the Canadians pronounce it as Sean, right? There's a few words I've learned I can't say in Canada in my South African accent. And ice is the way you say it. We say us. You can't say that in Canada because it means something else. But I said it at church. Now, you might see me moving backwards and forwards a little bit. That's just because I need the washroom and I forgot to go. I'm only kidding. You know, when I'm doing God's work sometimes I struggle to keep still. And it's a little weird. I've got a camera here, and I was told by the technical team, don't be a wandering talker because the people on Zoom. So I apologize, guys, if I forget, but we'll try and keep it together. So who is this weird guy that's speaking in a funny accent? My name is Sean Jones. I'm from originally South Africa. I married a beautiful Canadian, French Canadian, the love of my life, the woman of my dreams. Her name is Isabel. Would you stand up for me, beautiful lady? Stand up. Isn't she lovely? If I was gifted in the gift of singing, I'd sing, isn't she lovely? But I won't do that. I won't torture your ears. And then my beautiful kids, Asasia, would you wave to everyone? Caprice. Don't be shy. And Isaac. There we go. Absolutely the treasures of my heart. First God, my family second. Who is I'm second? Okay, a quick show of hands. And be honest now, because the Lord's watching. Who in here has heard of I'm second before we arrived? Look at that. That's amazing. Quite a few of you. Okay. For everyone that didn't hear about us or about who we are, let me try and paraphrase it for you. Who is I Am Second? Well, we're a multimedia, viral video creating, church planting, disciple leading, God-filled ministry that is inspired to change the world through testimonies by elevating the name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. It's a mouthful, but man, I tell you, God really has... He's put a fire in my heart for Canada, guys. I got to tell you, I'm from South Africa, but from the time I put my feet on this beautiful land, I had that burning desire to contribute to his kingdom, but in this land. And God loves Canada, man. The foundation is laid on his name, on his principles. And he is not forgotten. And he will bless this land. And he's going to call us to action to do a few things because the time is right. Don't you agree? Isn't this world upside down right now? Everything seems out of place, not where it's supposed to be, not right, injustice. But there's a time when God calls his people, and that time is now. So very quickly, I'm going to show you a video and just give you an idea of what we are famously known for. This video, now, is this a hockey town? Any hockey people in here? Yeah? Yeah. Who are we supporting? The Leafs? Oh, I better be careful. Yeah, I could get in trouble. Senators, right? Ottawa. Believe it or not. Now, confession time, I am a Leafs fan. Do not boo me. You could tell by my socks. But I thought, let me wear socks and not the hat because I boo that man. We have a Habs fan in the family. I'm not terribly happy about it, especially after last season. Yes. The Leafs are the best golfing NHL team that I can tell you now. Firsthand, I know that. But let me tell you, hockey, I've fallen in love with this sport, man. I'm a huge rugby guy. I played semi-pro rugby back home. Rugby was, if I'm really honest, before I met Jesus, was my first love. And I quickly fell in love with hockey, man. And that's a funny story. I'll tell you that at the table after if you want to chat more. But hockey became a really big love for me. And that was important in Canada, right? Because largely a favorite sport down here, I'm told. But you guys have a rock star in the hockey world that is a part of our ministry. His name's Mike Fisher. Anyone heard of Mike Fisher? Oh, yeah. Go, Ottawa's go. But, sorry? Yes, that's right. He played for Ottawa and finished his career in Nashville, I believe, right? But he's also Canadian, played for the national team, which I'm told he was brilliant. So, Mike, incredible hockey player, but an even better Christian. Like, this guy is God's pride and joy. And I'm going to play a video for you now. This is Mike's testimony. He shared this with I Am Second a number of years ago. And in Canada, this is one of the more favorite videos because it's a Canadian. And this is what we hope to bring more of, more Canadian stories and giving a voice to Canada through this ministry. Gentlemen, if you play that for us. Thank you.
I'd get the question, hey, what do you want to be when you grow up? And it was an NHL hockey player. That's all I wanted to do. I remember just anticipation. I love to compete. I love the speed of it. I love to score. Grew up in Peterborough, Ontario. Peterborough was a hockey town, so it was filled with hockey rinks, balancing that with school and church and family. You know, hockey is stats related, performance based, and that kind of, I think, carried over as a kid into just trying to be a good kid. At 6 years old, I was about to go to school, and I asked my mom if I could ask the Lord into my heart, and I still remember where, and on my knees, prayed with my mom. At six, it's, I don't know if you really understand everything. You definitely don't, but it's definitely a start. I left home at 17. I was drafted into the Ontario Hockey League, so I went away at 17 and left family and friends and security of your kind of home church. And I was playing with 16, 17, 18, 19, 20-year-olds, and I struggled. I was trying too much to maybe fit in, and I was focusing for so long on what I can't do. I can't swear, I can't drink, can't have sex, can't do all these things. Meanwhile, inside, I'm not focusing on that relationship. It was hockey took over. At 19, I make it to the NHL. I'm making a great salary. I made it. Made my childhood dream, and everything was great on the exterior, interior. Not good at all. Yeah, I remember signing my first contract. I was 19 years old. Just kind of a little bit unbelievable. You know, that's every kid's dream, is to sign a contract. And I remember going out that night to a bar, getting drunk, making bad decisions, and waking up the next morning feeling like the worst piece of crap that I could ever feel like. There's a lot of inside feelings of a lot of different things. I was letting people down. I was letting God down, trying to hide, trying to pretend like everything was great. Still go to church, but maybe be hungover, not really into it, but just putting up a kind of a facade. When I did a Bible study with my cousin, who I was living with at the time, at the age of about 22, I get to a scripture. It's Luke 9, 23 to 25. And it says, if you want to be a follower of me, you have to put aside your own selfish desires, shoulder your cross daily, and follow me. If you try to keep your life for yourself, you'll lose it. But if you give up your life for me, you will find true life. What do you benefit if you gain the whole world but lose your own soul in the process? Remember that scripture just kind of hitting me, and that was for me. Because I'd reached my dreams. I had money and everything he thought was cool and just wasn't working, and I knew what the answer, but I hadn't been looking for it in the right places. And through a process of just praying and getting in the word with my cousin, my life was changed. And for the first time, I remember thinking, man, this is really real. It wasn't because of my parents. It wasn't because I was supposed to be in church, but it became real to me. And didn't happen overnight, but slowly God changed me on the inside, and I started to not worry about the don'ts, but just focus on just pursuing him. And slowly God started to just bring up stuff, started to confess things in my life that I wasn't proud of. And slowly God just kind of released that. It wasn't religion anymore. It was a real relationship. And that was awesome. Game day, I still get goosebumps. Thankful to be able to do what I love to do. I fail. Definitely, I'm at the back end of my career. I'm a guy that's kind of not very patient at times, and I'm a slow healer. But I finally figured out that it wasn't just about performing It's just accepting his love, in spite of our failures and our mistakes. That love of the Father is unconditional. That's a pretty good feeling to know that how much he loves me. My name is Mike Fisher, and I am second.
Thank you, Mike. Isn't that great? Man, I tell you guys, it's not about performance. It's about accepting. You know, and Mike does a very good job in sharing his testimony. So this ministry is largely based on testimonies. And I don't know about you, but I love a good testimony, a good story, all right? I sometimes feel like, man, what I would have given to be at Jesus' feet hearing him tell a parable, you know, share a story. Wow, that would have been special. And today I have a story similar to Mike's. Well, not really, very different actually. But I'm going to share a little bit of our story. And this story is going to be a story of highs and lows. It's going to be a story of a guy that never felt worthy enough because he failed in so many things in life. I failed as a sports athlete. I didn't make it to the pros. I failed in what I felt like. I failed in relationships. I always fell short. I fell short as sometimes I felt like a failure as a dad. I felt like a failure in business. And I like to call this the broken things message, right? God loves to use broken things. Broken things is God's gold, his treasure. And he can use broken things and often does. If you read the Bible, it's usually not the Pharisee or the big flashy guy that he calls to service. He calls on the guys that you never expected. And those are the guys that can really make an impact. And most times because they got a story. Like if you're walking in life and you've got it all sorted out, how are you going to help someone else if you can't speak the same language? I'm just so passionate about this ministry, and I know that God's going to use it in a mighty way because there are stories in Canada that need to be told. And so one, we get into how the South African from a little town on the East Coast called East London came to Canada and where it all began. So it started off in 2002 where I got myself a lucky ticket to Dubai. I went over to work and play basketball for a team called, it was a team owned by the Crown Plaza Hotel. And it was part of the PBL league, not a big money team like the NBA. Wasn't enough to live on. So I had a job in the evenings working at the bar at the hotel. And lucky for me, God sent an angel. My wife was a singer in a band, Canadian band, a 7-piece band doing cover music. And so our story started like a fairy tale. And it truly was. You know, we dated for 6 months, didn't know the Lord. We dated for 6 months at that time in Dubai. And really, we were so in love. And, you know, nothing could interfere with, you know, our plan. And soon we'd find out without the Lord, it can't go well forever. So we, you know, we moved to South Africa. I first left Dubai and she joined me after finishing up her tour with the band. And we got married in South Africa and we had our first baby, Asasia. She was the cutest little thing. She still is. But, you know, when Izzy got into South Africa and she planned on staying for a while, we went down to the Home Affairs office in South Africa to sort out her paperwork. And we got the help we thought we needed and there was some mistakes made. All the information wasn't given to us. And this would cause a problem 2 years later. My little girl was 12 months old. And we were happily living in South Africa, struggling through it, but happy, I think, together, as happy as we could be. And the law caught up with us. The government caught up with us, and on inspection of our paperwork and Isabel's status, we came to know that she was actually illegal in the country. And, you know, these guys can sometimes be very cruel. You know, the sometimes a person in power can leverage their power, and they can just show who's boss. And that's what they did in our case. And I felt like just so angry and mad at the world, at God, at everyone, because my wife, the sweetest woman that I knew, you know, soft, kind-hearted, not stealing jobs from any South Africans. She was at home looking after our baby, and they deported her. They sent her back immediately to Canada, and it was devastating because she was still actually breastfeeding our baby. The baby had to stay behind because Asaysia didn't have a passport, so she was stuck with Dad. I didn't do too bad, I think. I dropped her only once or twice. Not on the head, but I wasn't prepared, right? I was probably not the best father in those early days, if I'm totally honest. Without the Lord, you know, you can really fall short in many areas. Isabel, on the other hand, was an incredible mom. She just took care of everything. She made sure the baby lacked for nothing. And you know, and for me, I was playing sport. I was 3 practices a week and games on weekends. I was, you know, trying to get into the big leagues. And, you know, mom had to pick up a lot of the slack in the early days. And then all of that changed because Dad was a single dad in South Africa raising a beautiful 12-month-old little baby. And mom was stuck in Canada. And I got ready for a fight because a fight is what we had to get into. We got into a fight with the government. We got the media behind us. We had this huge rally behind us. I felt really good about this. All the things that I'm doing, you know, got the newspapers, I got the radio behind me. I've got multiple articles, front page articles, slamming the government, talking about the Home Affairs, how terrible these people are. And nothing seemed to change. No movement. Like when I tell you guys, we did everything humanly possible. I even went as far as making a contact with a BBC reporter overseas who tried to get involved. And he tried to get the story told in Canada, but no news agency would pick it up. It sounded too far-fetched, is what we were told. Well, God had a different plan, right? He was waiting for me to get to a place where I truly had no more human effort left in me, and that I would find a way to call on him, on his name. And this would eventually be the way I would come to know Jesus in a really special way. We did make a very small breakthrough. About 5 months after fighting, Isabel got permission to come back to South Africa. On a 48-hour pass, she was allowed to come in, pick up the baby, and go back to Canada. So it was a little victory. And it was what was needed because the baby should be with her mom. And so she came, she picked up Asaysia, and she went back to Canada. And now I was truly decimated. I was now alone with the love of my life in a different country, the 2 loves of my life in a different country, a broken man. At this point, I'd lost my job. I had lost my spot in the rugby team. After a rugby game, somebody asked me about my family, and I'm a pretty emotional guy. And, you know, celebrating after a rugby win and having a few beers and someone asking about your family that's been ripped away, I was not in good condition, and a stupid decision to break some stuff in the club cost me my spot in the team. And so I lost everything. I really did. I lost everything that gave me any identity in that moment. And now I found myself in a desolate place. Now, a further 4 months would pass, about 10 months had passed that I'd been separated from my wife and now my child. I was living at home with my brother in his house outside of town, which is perfect for me because I lived in a small town. In a small town where everyone knows your business, okay? And because I was in the papers, everyone really knew my business. So it would be hard to go out because people would always ask me about my family and this big 6'6" giant, this rugby player, just bawled his eyes every time I'd go out. So for me, I went into isolation. I locked myself in the bedroom of my brother's house and I didn't leave. And God bless him for those early days because he fed me and clothed me and took care of me in a time when I really needed someone. But we had a strange visit, okay, an appointment from a Christian who just rocked up at the house one evening. And let me back up for a quick second here. I was in my mind and really in a dark place. And I had come to the end of my road where I didn't want to live anymore if it wasn't going to be with my family. So I found myself calling out to God and asking him, Lord, if you are real, like I'm seriously doubting because I've had it pretty rough as a child. And now it's like the worst thing ever that I've lost my family. But if there is a God and if you are real, I'm asking you, I challenge you to show me. Give me a sign. Give me a sign and let me know. Because if you're not real, I'm just, you know, take me. Just I'm ready to go. And then the strange man rocks up at my brother's house. And I'll never forget him. He claimed to be a youth pastor. And my brother thought he knew me. I thought he was a friend of my brother's. So he got in the front door. Christians will do that. They're real sneaky. But this young man, probably in his late 20s, had this weird crooked nose, very bad, like acne on his face, very distinctive looks, very slim young man. Bony, if I can describe him like that, like a peculiar looking guy. Like at first glance, you could easily mistake him for an alien. Like, and I say this so lovingly because this man changed my life. Anyway, he gets in and my brother comes to my bedroom and he usually just passes food through the door. Like, you know, let's feed this behemoth and close the door. Don't want to let this grumpy guy out of his room. But anyway, he opened up the door and he said to me, Sean, there's a guy here to see you. I said, get rid of him. What do you mean there's a guy here to see me? Is it my family? If it's not, get out of here. What are you doing? He said, no, I think you should see him. He's a pastor. I'm like, oh, hold on now. Immediately, I came back to my prayer that I said in my head. A pastor. I'll speak to him. I'll see who he is. And so came out of my room, sat in the kitchen with this gentleman. And I was hoping to hear some words of wisdom from heaven and see a lightning bolt come down and strike the embassy and burn up the whole building and bring my family back on a horse and carriage in the clouds. Just kidding. But I was expecting something. And this gentleman came out and asked me. He said, look, I know about your story, which I didn't find surprising because it was in the newspaper. And he said to me, do you mind if I pray for you? I'm like, oh, man, go ahead. Oh, is that it? Or you just came here to ask to pray for me? You know how many people have prayed for me? Nothing's happened. Sure, you want to pray for me? Let's pray. And he did. He prayed that God would deliver this my family back to me. And then he said something else to me at the end. He said, would you fast with me? I didn't really know what that was because I wasn't a born-again Christian. And I said, dude, I'll do anything if it means getting my family back. I don't know what a fast is. Is that like a fast prayer? He says, no. He says, a fast is showing obedience to God and abstaining from food and drink for a period of time and giving that time to God and really pressing in and speaking with him and spending time with him. I said, buddy, abstaining from food and drink, that's easy. I'm already doing that. I'm like, I had no appetite. And I was like, in my heart, guys, I was really, God can search my heart. I was really legit serious. This was an opportunity like, I still wasn't sure if this was my sign, right? It could be just some crazy alien looking guy. In my heart, though, I was truly ready to be obedient for this week. And for 1 week, we made a deal, him and I, the pastor and myself, we'd fast for a week. And then God would answer my prayer. Well, he left, the pastor left, and I started day one of fasting, and I did it. It was awkward, and it was difficult, a little more difficult than I thought, but I was really obedient with it, and then I forgot to, I actually realized I didn't ask this guy for his phone number. How am I going to check if he's doing? Like, these sneaky Christians that come in your house unannounced and uninvited, wonder if he's doing it. I'm doing it, and it sucks. And anyway, I didn't have his details, so I had to just trust that, look, I'm doing my end, my part of the bargain. So 3 days, 4 days went by, and 5 days. I remember in the fifth day, it was a Friday, and I was remembering, I was thinking, did he mean like a business day week? Like a was this a business day week or a seven-day week? I was hoping it was a business week because I was struggling. And but I didn't get a phone call from him or from the embassy. I started to get annoyed, if I'm honest. I was thinking, at least he'd phone me on Friday to check in how I was going, tracking with me. But he didn't. And so I just assumed, okay, you probably meant a seven-day week. Oh, here we go. And so I did the Saturday and the Sunday. And at the end of Sunday, I mean, there was no results. No phone call from the pastor. No phone call from Home Affairs. No breakthrough. I was pretty angry. I remember feeling like, you see, I gave you your chance and you didn't answer me. You didn't even have the audacity to send your freaky youth pastor back to, you know, to check in on me. I really felt like abandoned and upset. But I didn't realize it was Sunday. And Monday was the day because Home Affairs is closed on a Sunday. So my breakthrough was on Monday morning. I got a phone call from Home Affairs. And have any of you guys ever felt this immediate fear of the Lord? Like, oh my word, God just answered this prayer. He's real. Did he see what I just did? Does he know what I said about him? I felt anxious. I felt like, why is Home Affairs calling me? It doesn't make any sense. And rightfully so, I should have been nervous because I went in for a meeting. These gentlemen called me into an office. I had a meeting before with these guys that it didn't go well, and I was ready to break tables and chairs. But this meeting went different. It had a different atmosphere, and it had an atmosphere of peace and victory, and I couldn't understand it because I still wasn't a Christian. But he sat down, and he just gave me favor, and I actually sat in the room with the head of Home Affairs. His name was Mr. LeKay. And this guy had been blowing me off for months, didn't even want to meet with me. And now he changed his tune. He asked me to retell the story, tell him what happened again. I explained exactly what happened. We were given the wrong information. My wife stayed illegally, unknown to us. And I explained which lady helped us. And as soon as I did that, he nodded his head and he said, yes, okay. I acknowledge the person, and that's been a problem in the past, and I apologize. This is our fault. So, overcome with emotion, crying and making fists. Don't know if I should punch him now or wait for him to help me first. But he told me, look, we won't admit it publicly. We can't do that, unfortunately. People will lose their jobs. But here's what we will do for you. We'll lift the fine, because I got slapped with a massive fine that I couldn't pay. And we would allow your wife to come back into the country. We would remove her illegal status. And she actually had a criminal record. She was a real gangster back then. But they removed all the stain that was on her name. And little did I know, that's sort of how God works, right? That's how Jesus operates. That's his mandate. That's what he does. And he told me I would need 48 hours and she can come back. And as his word was true, 48 hours later, I had another phone call and praise Jesus, my family was allowed back in the country. Amen. All glory to God, man. Praise him. I tell you, though, I was terrified because God had answered a prayer and I'd said some horrible things. And then I was really mad. I was still a little angry with the youth pastor because why didn't he come back? Now I've even got good news to tell him, right? The area where we lived was 30 minutes out of town. On the other side, there was no human settlement for at least an hour and a half. So we were really in the middle of nowhere. And that's why I said to some people last night, I love people from the middle of nowhere. There's a little bit of an insight there. But we lived in a street with 10 houses, and it was mostly farming community. So farmers that needed place for people that worked on the farm would stay on these like 10 houses on the street where we lived. So I just assumed that this youth pastor was one of the people living in these 10 houses because there was no other settlement anywhere close. And he didn't have a car because he walked there. Well, I went knocking at every single door, explaining to the people what this gentleman looked like because he was easy to describe. And people looked at me like, kind of, don't know what you're talking about. He sounds like he's Australian. A little dig there. Sorry about that. We're very competitive, the South Africans and Australians. But yeah, nobody knew who I was talking about. And I thought that was really strange. So this weird-looking Christian guy from the middle of nowhere just rocks up at my house. And I just found out God was real. And I was nervous, and I'm thinking, I mean, anyone can think whatever they like. For me, amen. Yeah, for me, he was an angel. And there's no other explanation because Eastern is kind of a small town. I almost wanted to get a sketch artist and search him out, but I thought, let me leave him as an angel. But yeah, guys, you know, wasn't long after that we started following the Lord. My wife came back and I gave her the news. And I was like, listen, got news for you. We are going to church on Sundays. She was totally down for it. And the journey was beautiful. After there, we served the Lord. My wife was a little quicker to faith. She took to faith like a moth to flame. And that's a South African term. I don't know if it makes any sense here, but she really did learn to know Jesus fast. She became a worship leader. She was amazing at it. The Lord blessed her so much through her ministry, and I was happy for her. But I felt like, man, what am I bringing to the table? Where's my place? And I searched for a long time, but you know, as we grew in our faith and learned about what it means to be a Christian, learning how to follow Jesus, the blueprint's pretty easy. It's called the Bible. And the Bible speaks so much life and positivity, and there's so much good that comes out of that beautiful book. But for me, there was no, I was struggling because for me, forgiveness was a problem. Like I was struggling to grasp what it meant to forgive people that have hurt me in the past. You know, I held a lot of bitterness in my heart, for bitterness for people in the home affairs, bitterness against my family members that had I'd suffered abuse as a child, bitterness against people who had wronged me, you know, just so much. And forgiveness was hard for me to grasp in my early walk with Jesus. And then I'd struggle because I didn't find a place where I fitted in this family. You know, we were attending a church. God was working amazing through my wife, and I was the guy. I became known as the tall guy that belongs to the beautiful Canadian. And my accent might be endearing to Canadians, but in South Africa, it doesn't work. We all sound like me. So I really struggled for a while till I sort of grasped what I need to do next. And I asked God. I got to tell you, I was back to my old tricks, giving God challenges. Hey, if you're real, give me my calling right now. Didn't answer. It was silence. Lord, please, I'm begging you. Where do you want to use? Where can you use me? I know I don't give you many options. I mean, I'm a failed athletic. I'm a failed rugby player, basketball player. I'm a great salesman. How are you going to use? I mean, I could sell Bibles for you, but kind of feels wrong. Should be giving those away. But I didn't find a place. I didn't feel like I fitted. And eventually, I just served in the back of the church with the camera. In South Africa, we normally put a dude behind this thing, and he follows the pastor. I was doing that for a while, and I loved serving, but I just felt like God had a very powerful call, and you know, for my life, and He wasn't telling me what it was yet, and I was nagging Him a lot. And then He would, I suppose, I laugh about this because I feel like He's got a sense of humor. And I feel like He wanted to shut me up. And so He decided, okay, you keep pestering me like this and keep bugging me. Either I'm going to strike you with a bolt of lightning, or I'm going to have to give you a peek. Let me give you a peek of what I've got for you, lined up for you. And He did this through a friend, Renee and Madeleine. They are farming friends of ours. We used to live with them in their basement apartment. We lived in the basement apartment. They had the house upstairs. But they are truly special friends. They walked with us in our early faith journey, and they were sort of mentors to us. They were very spiritual people, and they taught us that shouldn't cuss in church, shouldn't do this, shouldn't do that. You know, Christian life coaches. And really, they were so incredible in the early days. And these guys called me up, and they're like, hey, man, you're not going to believe this, but God gave us a prophetic word for you. I'm like, awesome. Tell me what it is, right? No. You got to come and visit us. I'm like, these Christians, they're so sneaky. So sneaky. But it was an incredible visit. It was over Christmas time, right? Yeah, it was over Christmas time. Took the kids down. Farm life, man. I strongly recommend it. You got kids, raise them on a farm. They'll never be bored. They'll never know what a device is. But we got down, and Renee took me into the garden in the backyard, and he was so excited. He couldn't even wait. We didn't even do the hellos. He just went straight into it. He's like, you're not going to believe what God showed me. And he said to us, God showed me that He's opening the door for you guys. You're going back to Canada. And I chuckled. I kind of laughed because he didn't know the story, the trouble we had, the immigration issue. I tried to go to Canada before. I was declined. I tried to go to the U.S. I was declined. There was a belief inside me still, a human belief that was almost impossible to do. And we'd sort of given up almost trying. We'd tried many times to come to Canada, but there was always a closed door somewhere. And so when he told us, you're going to Canada, that's the first chuckle I had. And then he went on to say, Isabel will be back in the worship team worshiping, praising in front of thousands of people. I'm like, oh, amazing, because she had walked away from worship leading for a while after a bad experience. I was so happy to hear that for her. And he said to me about me, he said, I see God showed me you're going to be in Canada. You're going to be working in a ministry. You're going to be planting churches, and you're going to be speaking to thousands of people using testimonies to change people's lives. Now, I scream laughing. I was like, what have you been drinking? What are you doing on this farm? What are you farming? If you're not taking it, it's getting into your clothes and it's somehow messing with you, brother. What spirits are these? I felt kind of bad. I felt like I almost insulted him by the way I laughed. But it was such a ridiculous, in my opinion, it was so crazy. And that's why God wasn't answering me at the time, because if you nag him long enough, and if you get it, if he gives you your vision and you're not prepared in that moment to hear it, well, let me tell you, it's going to scare you away. It's going to keep you probably out of it, out of your calling for a while. And that's what it did for me. It really terrified me because firstly, I didn't believe it. And God needed to work on that to start putting things in place. Oh, yes, one of the promises in this dream was he was going to give us a house, which I thought was also crazy. I mean, I was working as a sales rep and earning nowhere near enough money to save up for a house, especially not in South African money coming over to Canada. But yeah, God blessed us. He blessed us abundantly. We had a phone call. I can't remember exactly how long after that prophetic word, but we got a call from our company just out of the blue. Hey, man, you want to go back? Are you still interested in going to Canada? We've got a transfer for you. And then I started getting that anxious, nervous feeling again. Oh, God, he's doing it again. Where's that youth pastor? It was the next month. Thank you, love. So box one was ticked. And I'm thinking, okay, you know, maybe he's a God of 2 out of 3. Maybe he can give us 2/3 of, and you know, maybe he got one wrong. I promise you guys, he's not a God of 2 out of 3. Okay, he's a God of, I will, all things will be accomplished in my name. And when I arrived in Canada, he kind of let me ease into it. Like, he didn't zap me right away with church planting hooligans. But after a year of settling in and a really up and down ride in Canada, we found blessing, man. Our you know, in my second year in Canada, he blessed me with an honor of top salesman of the whole of North America, and blessed us with a trip to Hawaii. It was a prize we won, and it was an all expense paid trip to Hawaii. And you know, I never took Izzy on a honeymoon. And I always promised her one day we'll do it. God will give us the best of the best, you know, and he did. That was a honeymoon trip for us. Wow, what a blessed time that was. But I was still nervous because I knew it was coming. And that's what he did. When I got back from honeymoon, the honeymoon was over. I started bumping into people that would talk to me about church planting. They'd be like, walk up to me. Hey, man, don't know why. God sent me to you. You know anything about church planting? I'm like, actually, there's this. I'm going to the washroom. Just stay here. Catch you in 5 minutes. Man, I ran from every single person that would come to me about church planting because I was so convinced. Like, I don't have a theology degree. I didn't go to university. God, seriously, I'm Moses, the guy that couldn't speak properly. Like, my brother, you should speak to my brother or my cousin. Those guys are great. But he was on my case, guys. He was really on my case. And I had about 4 or 5 interactions with people. And then we had just left Burlington, moved to Kitchener. And in that first year in Kitchener, I made a very good friend. His name's Jeremy Dalton. He's my best friend in Canada. He was a close family friend. Our families were tight. And he was a Christian missionary. That's all I could sort of remember about what he did. But we didn't really talk shop. I knew he was a great spiritual guy and someone I wanted to be around. And in Kitchener, I went to a men's conference at Harvest. And at this men's conference, man, God was speaking to me so powerfully. I was sitting there and I was praying, Lord, I want to hear from you so much. I want to feel your presence again. It's so good. And in the intermission break, I saw, man, it's one of those moments that you could have captured for a movie. I saw this, what do we call them? White-haired man? I saw this old white-haired man from across the room, hunched over and sort of pushing his way through hundreds of men. And he had his eyes fixed on me. And I was standing by the cookies. And the coffee didn't leave that spot. This was my favorite spot. And I saw him coming for me, and I got nervous, to be honest. I was like, I just asked God for another message, and this guy's making his way through to me. And he did get to me. It took him so long because he was really old. But God bless him, man. He came to me and he said to me, oh, man, I wish we had more time to talk. The conference is starting. We've got to go back in. Take my card and phone me back. Call me back. I need to talk to you. God has told me to come and talk to you. I don't know why. And I recognize his accent. He was South African. And I was intrigued. And the card, I was sure the card was going to say church planting. But it didn't. It didn't. I was so relieved. I looked at it and it had NAMB and his phone number and something pastor. And I was intrigued, man. I can't wait to get my word from God, right? So after the conference, I phoned him first thing in the morning and set up a meeting with him and went down to meet with him. And for some reason, man, God snuffed the desire to Google NAMB. I didn't really know what it stood for. But I met with him because I miss South African people and I was excited to see him and I wanted to hear what my message from God is. And we met, we got together and he's like, I don't really know why God wanted me to talk to you. I'm like, oh no. So I asked him, I said, what does NAMB stand for? He said, North American Mission Board. I said, what do they do? We support church planting organizations all across the world. I finished lunch with him. I shared a bit of my testimony. I shouldn't have done that. And he was like this. He couldn't sit still. I was like, you need the washroom? No, he's like, this is how it was going. He's like, I got to get my director needs to meet you. You have to, like, God, you've got a mission. God told me to call. And then I ran for the hills, guys. I feel so bad. I've apologized and asked for forgiveness afterwards, but I did, man. I wasn't ready. The call was too big. God was being a bully. Didn't appreciate that. And I wasn't ready, and I was terrified, and I just couldn't see. A little selfish as well, if I'm totally honest. I mean, I had this incredible career, earning an incredible salary, bought a house with what God provided. That was the next box he ticked, and I was, in a way, feeling like, oh, God, I've never had security like this. You've just given it to me. Now you want me to leave everything and plant churches, which I have no clue how to do. Why would you ask me to do that? Man, I wasn't ready. And I need a little more time for God to work on my heart. Well, when I say I was distressed, like, you had to see me in these days. I was distressed. I was really unsettled in my spirit. I was having a rough time trying to process this. And my best friend, Jeremy, who I told you about, who lives in Kitchener down the road from me, he picked up on this, that there was a problem. And he said, brother, I mean, I don't know what's going on with you, but you seem really disturbed. And I don't know what's troubling you, but if you want to talk about it, let's do lunch. Let's go have sushi and talk about it. And I'm like, okay, yeah, I can do that. So we went and we had a lunch together and I started pouring my heart out. And when I say distressed, guys, I was really troubled, man. I was emotional and sort of on the, you know, on the border of tears. I was so distressed. And Jeremy, when I told him, I said, God keeps hounding me with church planters. He keeps sending them and this prophetic word, like, he got it wrong. And I don't know why. What is his problem? He's such a bully. And Jeremy's sitting there, and I'm almost in tears. And Jeremy starts laughing. What? Are you kidding me, bro? I'm like pouring my heart out here. You're laughing at me. He's laughing loud. And he can't contain himself. He's like, Jonesy. He's like, dude, I didn't know that about you. You never shared that before. I said, well, thanks for laughing at me, bro. And he said to me, you're not going to believe this. He's like, you know what I do. I said, I don't. I know. I mean, you're the I am second guy. He always wears the I am second hat and, you know, chats about church stuff all the time. And he's like, dude, I'm not the I Am Second guy. This is just the brand that our parent ministry came up with. Like, it's a tool that we use. I'm not the guy that works. Like, I work for E3 Ministries. E3 Canada, actually. And I said, what? E3. Evangelize, equip, and establish. Evangelize, equip, and establish. I'm like, establish what? The local church. I'm a church planting missionary. Well, this happened. Air came out of me, and I just decided in that moment, I said, God, if you're going to play like if you're going to go as far as sending my best friend to get me, then I think I'm just going to submit. I'm just going to do this. Let me see where this goes. Let me see what happens. And Jeremy was so cool, man. He was such a good friend. He really knew about the anxiety and the stress of what it means to be a part of an organization like this. And you know, when we got into conversation, he said to me, look, man, God's not a bully. You are a bit of an idiot. You're just seeing it that way. Why don't you come and serve with us just as a volunteer? And let's just see if it's anything you like doing. And I was like, yeah, that's my kind of God. Give it to me. Let me ease into this and see if I can even do it. And I did. I served with this team, and this team is incredible. E3 goes all over the world planting home churches wherever there's no faith, right? Planting home churches, training a person of peace in the house who will bless an entire community through sharing the word in his house. And that is church. I loved what Graham said earlier. Church is not this building. Church is the thousands and thousands of people that receive training and then go and share with their fellow people, with their oikos. That's church. I imagine the enemies celebrating with this pandemic, thinking, look how I destroyed church. What a fool. He thinks that church is a building, and we're laughing on our side because, guys, I don't know about you. I feel it in this room, but I don't know about you, but I know that churches have come together and we've seen communities pull together and we've seen people get the word of God out, and they don't need a building to do it. Amen. Praise the Lord. All glory to him. Without him, without the blueprint, because he did give us a blueprint, his son, without him, it would all be impossible. But he made a way for us to do this, right? And so, you know, who am I to think that this call is too big for me? That means I believe that my God is not big enough to use a moron like me. And I keep reminding myself that if he can use a donkey to deliver a message, then I shouldn't be an ass. See what I did there, Lord? Amen. Amen, brother. Amen. All this to say, it brings me back to a scripture, okay, which would change my life. I would serve with Jeremy. I would join this team, and I would serve with him for approximately 3 years. We would do training. We call them 4-on-1, 4-day intensives, where we'd come in and invite pastors and leaders in the church and invite all these people, you know, for these intense training sessions where we show churches and leaders how to evangelize their communities and their cities, okay? And this is growing. Like, the God is moving powerfully through that organization. I Am Second is a product of E3 Canada, of E3 Ministries, sorry. E3 Ministries is the mother ministry which created the idea of I Am Second. And so evangelism is very close to the hearts of I Am Seconders. And guys, many Christians fall into this trap of this belief of, well, I got saved. I did my job. The hard lifting is done. Like, you know how hard it was to get me saved? You know how bad I was? I'm not doing another thing. I'm saved. But, and then they give that responsibility to people, incredible people, people like your pastor and his wife, Phil. Now, I'm not saying that they are not capable. They are. They're doing an incredible job for the kingdom. But it's not his job to evangelize all your family and your friends and your neighbors, your city. Matthew 28, 16 to verse 20, 16 to 20. Let me read this to you if you want to follow along. Matthew 28, 16 to 20. Many of you will know it off by heart. It's the Great Commission, right? You see, many Christians fall into this belief that once they are, oh, sorry, that's definitely not it. It's my notes. There it is. Then the 11, how vain of me, the thought I wrote a piece of the Bible. God forgive me. I thought it didn't sound familiar. It even had a South African accent that I was, what is this? So here's the verse. Then the 11 disciples left for Galilee, going to the mountain where Jesus has told them to go. When they saw him, they worshipped him. But some of them doubted. Jesus came and told his disciples, I have been given all authority in heaven and on earth. Therefore, send Pastor Chuck to go and make disciples. What? Did I read it wrong? No, I didn't. Billy, send Billy. Guys, he didn't say that. He said, therefore, go. Therefore, go. Go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Teach these new disciples to obey all commands I've given you, and be sure of this, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. When I grasped that truth, the call didn't seem that big and so scary. And serving on Jeremy's team for 3 years, it did a couple things. It killed my passion for my secular job, which I love. I loved that job. It decimated the passion that I had for selling construction equipment and the fame and the glory for being number one every year that I'm striving for. It killed that. And God put a new passion in my heart. He put a passion for this land. He put a passion for the people in this land, for people that would come to know him through the sacrifice that my family and I would make by joining this team, this hairy, audacious ask that he called us to. I tell you, man, is it scary? Absolutely. Is God with me? You better believe it. Absolutely, you better believe it. Guys, we got a job to do. It's not Billy and Pastor Chuck's job. It's all of our job. The problem is, I've heard this sermon before. I've heard the pastor preach this before. I've heard people preach this before. It's easy for you to say, like, you know, you've got friends in high places, and you know, my friends are not, you know, you know how to do it. Like, you've got the gift. I can't even talk to someone in the supermarket. It does sound scary. Let me tell you something. It's easier than you think. Okay. If you pray and ask God to give you a heart for evangelism, he will put the words in your mouth. He will give you what you need to give somebody in that moment. Okay. Evangelizing isn't knocking on 10 doors and asking them to come to church on Sunday. Okay. It could eventually lead to someone getting saved, but I don't want to be a door-to-door knocker evangelist. Like, I want to do something that carries gusto, that I want to do something that has power. I want to invite someone to know the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. Like, what a beautiful thing. I don't want to go somewhere where all my friends and family are not going for eternity. The urgency, like you got to have an urgency for this. And so we've created a challenge in our ministry with I Am Second. It's called the My Second Story Challenge. This is an opportunity for everybody in this room, okay, to make an impact for the kingdom. And it's as simple as taking putting your testimony in anything from 30 seconds to 3 minutes. Try and keep it under 2 minutes if you can. But My Second Story Challenge is a challenge we're putting out to fellow Christians. Be bold. We'll help you. We'll give you the prompts. I'm going to show you a video in a second that's going to help you. It's going to show you how to do this, how to take your testimony, record it on your phone, and share it on any platform that you're on. Maybe not everyone's on the TikTok and Instagram. Maybe you've got a Facebook account, wherever you can. Even if you just text it to a family member. This is my 30-second testimony. I just wanted to share it with you. You can blame it on the tall South African guy. Oh, you're not going to believe this. On Sunday, the South African guy challenged me. It's a dare. So I'm doing it. God will take that seed and he'll multiply it. He will put it in the hearts of your friends and your family. And they'll be reminded that, hey, man, that sounds really interesting. But it's only 30 seconds. I wonder, let me hook up with Corey and ask him more about that 30-second testimony. Because, man, that was powerful. What, are you kidding me? He went through that and now he serves Jesus? I didn't know that. I just thought he was a hubbly bubbly, happy clappy Christian. I didn't know he came from where he came from. And every single one, I don't want anyone in this room to discount that your testimony doesn't have power or meaning, because it does. And God can use anything, even an ass like me. I want you guys to really be like confident that your testimony, your story can be used for mighty things for the kingdom. And that's what he's called us to do, guys. That's all it is. Tell a friend about me. Share that joy. Share that. Just bring someone else to the kingdom with you. Don't come alone. It would be such a sad thing to see you come alone. If I can ask my buddies in the booth there, the most powerful men in the church, thank you for not shutting my mic off. Could you play that video? And then afterwards, I just want to close with some prayer. Thanks.
The My Second Story Challenge, and we're here to help you get started. We all desire to tell our stories for ourselves, our friends, and for God. Just having a simple way to crack open the door and let others know a little bit about us and our relationship with Jesus should be both empowering and fun. But if you're like me, the thought of just how to do that in a way that's not awkward or heavy can feel intimidating. And we can't have that. That's why the Little Second Community launched this challenge, to help give each of us a simple way to tell our stories and share. So check it out. All right, here is our friend Chaz.
What's up?
So Chaz was kind enough to come and help us out, and he just so happens to want to take on the My Second Story Challenge too, as a way of being more known personally and having more meaningful conversations with his friends.
Yeah, scripture says it's really important to always be ready to give an account for the hope that we have in Jesus. So I don't need to be a pretty chill way to practice that, because there are a lot of very uncool ways to do that.
Yeah, I mean, it's not as easy as it sounds. And let's make it fun. So let's do this. Talk to God and ask him to help you. Then, using a simple prompt, fill in your story points. Then you just get creative and video yourself and then share it with the whole world, or at least on your social media. No problem, right?
For sure. Let's do it.
All right. Awesome. So everybody write down the story prompt. There was a time in my life. I was blank and blank. Then Jesus showed me blank. Now that Jesus has changed me, I am blank and blank. Pretty simple, right? So based on my life story, here's how I do the challenge. So there was a time in my life when I was really lonely, and then I was plagued by anxiety and fear. And then Jesus she is my close friend, and he has never left me or forsaken me. So now I am secure and courageous as I walk in that freedom. So, what's your story? Since I shared that, so many of my friends have commented and encouraged me, and even cooler, are joining the challenge to share their own sanctuary. Right, so let's do your example for everybody. Cool?
Yeah. So, even though I do a little Jesus, I thought I had to do everything right in order to be close to him. But then God showed me that Jesus already did everything so that he could be close to me. So, since he showed me that, I've been learning that we already tight. So, everything that I get to do is out of the freedom of my relationship.
Yes.
I think that's
what I like. Yeah, we get to do it. I like how you made it your own. You guys, make sure not to be spilling a formula or use Christianese, churchy words, or what you think you're supposed to say. Be thoughtful and in the most concise way. Make it uniquely your own. Yeah, let's go for it. Do it.
Even though I grew up knowing Jesus, I thought I had to do everything right to be. I don't even know what I was saying. All right.
That's okay. Just go by your prop notes and go for it. They already love you, Jen.
Thank you. I appreciate it. All right, here we go. Even though I grew up knowing Jesus, I thought I had to do everything right to be closer to him. Then God showed me that Jesus already did everything so that he could be closer to me. So since he showed me that, I've been learning. We already talked, and now everything I get to do is out of freedom and relationship with him.
That was perfect. Wasn't that great? Also, you can either video and save it to your phone to upload later, or you can capture it directly in your favorite apps like TikTok, Instagram, Facebook.
What if someone wants to add, like, music for text or go live?
Oh my gosh, yes. Please do that. Whatever you want to do to express yourself and have fun with it.
And make sure you use the hashtag #MySanctuaryChallenge. And start sharing your sanctuary more. Like, check it out. I've already showed it to some of my friends and showed them how to do it. And it's starting to take off.
Yes, I'm already. That's great. What is the time right now? It's
all about being myself and not.
But then I found Jesus Christ at Christmas. He gave me new life. Jesus.
Yeah. As you can see, like Chaz, everybody's stories are so unique and beautiful. So now it's your turn. Remember, talk with God, follow the story prompts, fit in your own short story points, and use hashtag #MySecondStoryChallenge. Let's have fun with this. Get to know one another better, be open about our relationship with Jesus, and spark even deeper conversations as we share the challenge with all our friends. See you guys out there.
Amen, amen. So good. So, church. The challenge, we're going to put it out there. Sorry about the audio difficulty there. I'm not sure what is going on there. But the challenge we want to put out there, do this for God, because his people are precious to him, and he wants more of them to know him. And this is a way we can do it. Now, I'm going to give a quick example of what that story could look like, because it was a little bad. I'm going to ask my beautiful wife, would you guys encourage her? Call her up here. Isabel, do you have a story like that?
I sure have a story like that. I've got many stories, but I'll give you an example. It can be very short and easy and quick. Sean's got one that he made. It's a bit long. He likes to talk a lot. It can be quick. It can be a bit longer. It's a 30-second testimony, but it can be a little over that. It's not a big issue. So my example would be, there was a time in my life when I was self-centered, from growing up in a home with a single mom, with a lot of lacking and needs. We were not, I can say that we were poor. And so there was fear of lacking all the time. So I was self-centered when I grew up. My identity was in my clothes, and I was scared of giving, always fearing a lack. But when I met Jesus, though, I understood that he was my provider. It doesn't matter what I have, how I dress. He is my provider. He gives me everything that I need every day. So this is my story. Do you have a story like that?
Amazing. That's why I fell in love with her. Isn't she great? Guys, we have the story prompt notes at the back table. Come and see us. We have also little three circle stickers. Anyone who wants to take part of this challenge, come to the back, come and talk to us, come and grab one of the little pieces of paper with the prompts that helps you remember. There was a time in my life where blank, blank, and Jesus showed me, and then blank, blank again. We've got those little notes at the back. Come and see me. Anyone who wants to take part of this challenge, we also want to bless you with a small little evangelism tool called the Three Circles. This sticker is a 3M sticker. It's incredibly good quality. I've had one that lasted me for 3 years on the back of my phone. And the only reason I threw it out was because I changed my phone and then it was a new case. But otherwise, it would still be good. So come to the back. Come and speak to us. We'd love to bless you with that. We also got some merch at the back that we are that we're selling in a way to raise funds for the ministry. If there's also opportunity, if you ever want to support this ministry in Canada, come and talk to us about that as well. We would love to hear from anyone who's got a heart for that. Pastor Chuck, again, we thank you so much for this incredible opportunity.
Never too late to worship before, so they're coming back up.
Thank you so much.
Thank you so much. My goodness. What a treat, to have these guys. And give them a round of applause. Yeah, I was going to say at the beginning that I'm a huge fan of accents, and you got to hear Isabel's accent, so I'm really glad about that, and Sean's accent. And, you know, the Lord is all about family, and he's about the nations and the tribes and tongues of the nations, and so we just love accents. I heard on the radio one time, you're not supposed to ask somebody where their accent is from, and I just never obeyed that. I think it's a wonderful thing, and I think people are honored when you ask them what their accent is, because God has created us so beautifully. So I just want to say one more thing. We're going to end in worship, so these guys are going to give the benediction. Is Marvin here still? Where's Marvin? He's back there. Marvin, come on up here for a minute. Come on up. I want Marvin to give the benediction, and then we're going to go out and worship, okay? So these guys will close us off in a song. Coffee's on at the back. I want you to remember these guys, to remember I Am Second and the ministry that they got their story almost up to date, but not quite, you know? And so maybe after, you know, as you're talking to them, and they might even show a couple of clips over lunch hour, maybe we'll see how it goes. So feel free to hang around. But they got us almost up to date with their story, but it is, I mean, their up to date story is absolutely beautiful. I mean, September 2020 landing, right? Just over here near Pembroke. And it's just such a sweet story. But I want to encourage you to sow into this ministry, okay? We're not taking up an offering this morning. We'll bless these folks. But what I'm saying is, just register in your heart right now if the Lord is asking you to sow into this. They're going to become the directors of I Am Second in Canada. They have a love for this nation. And some of the other stories we heard yesterday that are remarkable as to the vision that they have for Canada and what this is going to a different level within our nation, even different than what's happening in the United States. So I'm touched. I'm going to sow something. I mean, I'm committed to sowing into this. I mean, I've often encouraged kids, give a toonie, you know, like everybody, if you've been stirred, you know, young people, you don't have a lot of money, you know, sow $10 into this ministry, like every seed, every soul, you know, every bit of sowing is important. But if it's registered in your heart and you want to support these guys, they have a table back there, buy their, get their merchandise. But more importantly, consider supporting them either through a one-time gift or regular giving. Okay. So it's wonderful to sow. It is wonderful to sow. If we don't sow, we won't reap. Sow. So we're going to go out with song. You guys leave. Oh, Marvin, I wanted Marvin to come up and give a benediction. I always love hearing a little bit of Hebrew. And this is our little, not little, everybody's making fun of you these days, eh? With your new suits and your, we've prayed for Marvin again today. Just the Lord is blessing this man. He is a gift to this congregation and to our lives, a gift to Shekinah. And yeah, give him a round of applause. Just continue to just sowing prayer into his life. He's such a blessing, and God has called him for such a time as this. So give us a blessing, and you guys send us out in worship.
Yivrecha chadanoi v'yish bracha, yayardanoi panoi v'lecha, yisadanoi panoi v'lecha, yisim lecha shalom. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious unto you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you his shalom, his peace that passes all understanding. Be Yeshua HaMashiach, in the name of Jesus the Messiah. Amen.